Welcome to School's Out with Mike and Miles. Real talk about education for teachers and everyone who loves learning.
Hey, Miles.
What's up, Mike?
Not a lot. Looks like we're back at it.
We're back.
Well, after a little hiatus and doing some work on the side and doing some other exploration, let's get back to podcasting. What do we have for a topic today?
All right. We're coming at you with help. My class is out of control.
Oh, no. All right. So my class is out of control. And I don't laugh because, I mean, if you are listening to this and you are identifying with it, you're probably not laughing either. You're probably maybe having a bad day or maybe thinking about Monday like, oh, no. And hopefully we can get that turned around where you're excited and thinking about, like, I am going to do this, and it's going to be better. So and I think that's important.
I wrote a blog post about this topic before we are recording this, Mike, and I put in the blog post that every teacher has been there, whether, you know, on a small scale or for years, every teacher has felt that way at some point. I guarantee it. Help, my class is out of control. I'm looking for some help. Those people that get out of that, sometimes I think it's even hard to say, hey, this is the exact way I got out of that situation. But if you're there, please know that everyone has been there at one point or another, for sure.
Yeah, I would say that in retrospect and thinking back on those experiences that I had, I was still, when I was in a situation like that, I was thinking so far ahead. And looking back at that now from my position, I think to myself, I was trying to get somewhere too far away. And all I needed to do was peel that back to how do I get to the next step in my journey, not the next mile. How do I get to just like taking the first step? And I think that's the image that I would want to portray to the listeners to say, don't start thinking about getting to the end of the week. Start thinking about getting to the end of the next 10 seconds. Peel that timeline down to right now. So.
Yeah, I think that's key. You know, don't, if you feel like this is out of control, it's not the whole thing that's out of control. It is small behaviors that are adding up to this climate that you're feeling uncomfortable with. You know, and if you're listening to this on a Saturday and you're thinking about that Monday class and you have that pit in the bottom of your stomach that is making you feel some fear or anxiety, it's okay. You've got this, you know, but I guarantee that it's not the big picture. It's like you said, those small victories that you're going to want to start to stack up to turn that thing around.
Yeah. So let's put this into perspective and maybe lay out a couple of steps. And I think in order to do that, we should start with some do's and don'ts. Some do's and don'ts when you're in a situation like this, I would say immediately, let's start with some don'ts. Please, please, please remember, try as hard as you can. Don't lose your temper. If you lose your temper, you're giving up a piece of something. It's almost like you're showing your hand. You don't want to do that. You don't want to show your hand. You don't want to lose your temper because now all of a sudden as a student, I've got something to work towards now. If I'm being bad in a classroom and you lose your temper, you've set the bar for me. I know what I'm working towards now. The other thing that I would do is please, please, please don't shout or yell or, you know, I guess it comes along with that lose your temper. Don't yell or scream or become alarmed at your kids. And I say that because in my experience, raising your voice to that high level, that yelling level, is reserved for two things. You either need somebody to do something in an emergency, or you need somebody to stop doing something in an emergency. So you're thinking like safety. I need you to move out of the way of something, or I need you to stop doing something that's harmful. Outside of that, please, please, please don't do that. Because now again, as a kid, I've got a bar to reach. Okay, I got you there. Now I guess what I'm shooting for tomorrow. So right.
what you're saying that, Mike, I thought, you know, you've seen people walking around with the t-shirts or the signs, keep calm and carry on, right? Yeah. That's from Winston Churchill, World War II, England's getting bombed every day. Hey, keep calm, and you got bombs falling. Stay calm and carry on. There are no bombs falling around you. So when I was thinking about this, that's my first thing, right along with what you're saying. It's never as bad as it seems. Stay calm.
Yeah.
It's okay. But if you start to elevate and get really frustrated, then you're in a bad cycle and you don't want to be there. So stay calm, carry on. First thing that I would recommend to anybody who's feeling this way.
Right. So let's start laying out our steps. What do we want happening? What do we want right now? Not a week from now. Start to think to yourself, what do I want? Well, I want my kids to learn. No, we need to pare that back. We need to shrink that timeline to right now. What do we want right now? Well, I want my kids to sit down. Okay, let's focus on one thing. And I didn't go beyond that because we're just going to focus on sitting down. Maybe in 5 minutes, we're going to focus on not talking out. One thing at a time, because again, behaviors are trainable, but it takes extreme patience to do this. You've got to be willing to invest the time in order for these behaviors or your classroom behaviors to come under, I wouldn't say under control, but into a manageable space. So extreme patience.
And with that, Mike, what I would recommend as the first step, after you just are committed to, I'm going to be calm and I'm not going to raise my voice and I'm not going to lose my temper with this group, the first thing I would recommend people doing is zeroing in on the behaviors that are making them feel as though this class is out of control, right? So I'm telling you, go old middle school style, fold that paper up like a hot dog. On the left-hand column, specifically list the things you are seeing that make you uncomfortable with this class. Write them. Kids talking out, kids arguing with each other, standing up when there shouldn't be. List those things out. And then on the right-hand side of that hot dog of the fold, list the things that you would want to see instead. Kids are talking out. I want them to be quiet when I am talking, when the class is talking. Now I've got a really concrete picture of what is going wrong with this class. Because like I think I said before, it's not as bad as it seems, I really don't think. But in that class, in that space, as a teacher, you start to feel as though this is out of control. But it's really some concrete things that you can correct. So figure out what those are.
Right.
First.
And then once we have that, we're going to address them one by one.
Yes.
By addressing them one by one, we're going to have to set the expectations to the class. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I want to see. And maybe let's just say that your class is completely out of control and everybody's talking when you say that. Okay, great. Then maybe that's the first thing we want to address, the fact that kids are standing up or that kids are talking out. We are going to provide a lot of wait time and maybe go individually to kids and say, this is what I expect to see, and then wait. And then just keep going over what you expect to see. And it could, I'm telling you, listeners, to anybody, this could take days, sessions. And it's okay, because if we don't take the time to take care of this now, we have to assume that no learning is going to take place either. This has to be done in the forefront.
Mike, you ever see that show? It was on a few years ago, The Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan, right? Yeah. And the dog is going crazy in the house. The dog owner's there. The dog is doing whatever, jumping on people or barking or trying to bite people. And my man Caesar shows up, and within hours, that dog is calm and trained and doing what he wants the dog to do, right? And they show this happening over like a course of a week. That's the same thing that I picture. You know, I'm not, but you've talked so much here and to me in general about behaviorism, but you can get the behaviors you want from that group. And it's a matter of teaching. It's a matter of training. So let's say, you know, and a real teacher brought this to me just this week, not in my building, but a teacher who Oh, I know. Hey, my class is out of control. I feel like I'm drowning. Let's say that was the number one thing. Kids talking out, kids talking when they're talking, kids talking over each other. If you're Caesar, Mike, and you're showing up to this class, what are you doing right now to teach that, to reteach that, that we're from the behavior we're not getting?
Okay, so right away, in my mind, this cookie situation came up, and I'm going to share it with you right now. I am going to walk into this class on day two, day one, or day whatever it was, when I said to myself, this class is out of control. I'm going to have my hot dog folded up with the things that I think are out of control, the things that I think I want those to look like, and I'm going to pick one. Okay, so let's just say, because for the sake of conversation, it's not going to be that kids are standing up. It's that kids are shouting and are noisy or whatnot. Day two, right after I've identified that, because I need their attention in order to go over some things, I am going to walk in, and there's a scientific name for this. I'm sure there's psychologists out there that would be like, Mike, you need to brush up on child psych. But I am going to do what I call the shiny. All right. I've always got something figurative in my mind that I'm holding up over my head that is redirecting your attention to that and not to me. And it's called the shiny. I'm going to show you something shiny, but I'm going to walk into that class realistically right now, and I'm going to be holding a pumpkin. I'm not kidding you. This is my scenario right now. I'm going to walk into class. The bell rang. I'm going to walk into class, and I'm going to hold a pumpkin in my right hand and just stand in front of the class with the pumpkin. There will be silence. There will be a second of silence because there's going to be curiosity in the room. I don't care if it's a pumpkin. It could be anything. It could be a transformer. It could be a toaster. But I'm going to hold something in my hand, and kids are going to wonder. And as soon as I get 1 second of curiosity, I'm going to highlight that and be like, wow, I see that everybody's kind of wondering what's going on right now. I just want to highlight the fact that the room is quiet. And this is what I'm going to strive for in exactly 10 seconds. I'm going to put a clock on the wall. We're going to count down from 10, and we're going to see if it's silent. And then I'm going to wait 10 seconds. And if it's not silent, be like, hold on a second. I'm going to go back outside of the classroom, and I'm going to come back in with this pumpkin in my hand. And we're going to try and recreate that, what happened just 10 seconds ago. And if it doesn't work, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to try it again. And I'm going to try it again and again. And if it still doesn't work, I'm going to change my routine and say to kids, we had a moment. Maybe I'm going to do it in groups of two or three. Maybe I'm going to do it individually, but I'm going to focus in on that behavior incessantly and say, we had such a good moment. I want to get back to that. Let's try it again. This time, if we can do it, I'm going to tell you more about this pumpkin because it's kind of special to me. I'm now creating different things to get attention to something else and to something that I want. And I'm trying to generate curiosity about, what does this guy want? Like, we got to figure this out. He's not here for something else. Let's not mess with him or something. I'm saying we're going to keep practicing that.
And I love that. You're giving me a reason to be quiet and to listen to you. I want to be quiet so I get to hear what's coming next. Yeah. What the heck is this guy doing with this pumpkin? Right. Yeah. And then you're talking in analogies in one way or another, Mike, but as I'm the teacher and I'm given this hook, I've got to get you with the hook to want you to listen, to get to more. One of the reasons why the kids are not listening is they either don't know they have to listen or they don't care what you're saying. And if it is the second one, that's kind of hard to swallow a little bit as a teacher, but you've got to make them care about what you're saying too. This has to be interesting. It has to be engaging. The words have to matter. But just with the pure behavior, I'm going to fall back for 1 second and say, if it's people talking while you're talking, don't start talking until they're quiet.
Right.
Right. If the second that, I got almost all of them quiet and I'm just going to start because I get, no, time is always on my side. There is no other agenda other than us being able to communicate well, right? So I upfront say the expectation in this class is that when I talk, you are quiet. When your classmates talk, you are quiet. the second that I don't, I need that before I start to talk. And okay, I got the two kids in the back room. I stop. I let them know I'm going back and starting again, but I'm not going to start. We're not getting going with the cool stuff we're going to do today until I get that from you. But they have to want to do the cool stuff we're going to get to too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of it. But it has to be consistent, calm, and all the time. No, I am not talking until you are quiet.
Right.
And it could take, you want to talk for 30 minutes and I got to go through this with you? Okay. Right. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. If kids are going to dig in, then why shouldn't adults as well? Mm-hmm. We can all dig in. Mm-hmm. But if I'm the teacher of this class and I know exactly what I need from the class and what I want from the class, I'm going to get it. I have to. I'm the teacher. But I'm not going to get it in a way that's cruel. And I'm not going to get it in a way that's passive. I'm going to focus in on that one behavior and I am going to wait. I'm going to clearly demonstrate what my expectations are. I might show you something shiny just to get that to happen initially. But once that does happen, now I've got your attention, maybe for 5 seconds, I need to get in the why. I'm going to jump in like, we need to be able to communicate right now where you're silent and I can say something. And once you have that why out there, reward their efforts. That's just pure, pure behaviorism. I'm going to do something now for you because you explained it to me. You've got my interest. Oh, now I know. And maybe now I know that you're not being a jerk. You're not going to yell and scream at me. You're not going to put me down. I'm starting to develop trust in you slowly, but that's where you need to start. Once you get that one piece, reward it. And it doesn't have to be like a candy reward, a monetary reward. It doesn't have to be a tangible. It could just be a little bit of praise and be like, thank you. Wow, we're going to have a good day. Or wow, we're going to have a next good 5 minutes.
And I get to listen to this guy who's freaking interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Who I want to hear talk more about this pumpkin. I get that. And he's like making eye contact with me. And I'm feeling like I'm on the same. Yeah, now you're moving. You know, you got that ball rolling. Mm-hmm. Right? And also want to fall back on one other thing you said, Mike. I want to belabor the point. But you said don't scream. You know, talk about stay calm. Think about the space that you want to have. You want to have this calm, caring, comforting space. Calm, caring, comforting spaces are not filled with yelling. And you've said this, the purpose of yelling is to stop a behavior right now instantly to protect someone from harm. But if I use that as in my toolbox to get you to stop talking, I might get you to stop talking for 2 seconds, but I'm not going to get you to stop talking for 40 minutes that way. And think about the kids who are already probably not used to respecting a speaker enough to listen silently. They're yelled at all the time. That is just some background noise for them. They can tune that out and keep on going 1,000 times over. You're going to run out of voice before they stop talking with yelling as the intervention.
Yeah. And you know, we talk about things like that and we say like those extreme behaviors that are trying to correct other behaviors, extreme adult behaviors, like if you're going to yell at a kid and you're wondering, wow, does that work? It's going to work the first time or it's not going to work at all. But boy, if it does work the first time, if you overuse it, you're training them into something different. You're again, now I go back to what I said before, you're training them to go there every time. They know where the line is. They're going to go to the line every time. That's normal human behavior. I'm always going to do what I'm allowed to do, always.
Yeah, right. And as a, you know, as a school leader, you can walk into, at a grade level, you can walk into and see a group of kids behaving one way in one space and completely differently, same exact kids in a different space.
Yes.
And then you can start to see the actions of the teacher that result in those behaviors. Like it's really fascinating to watch, but you know that for sure.
Right. And so if you're listening to this, I would say there are going to be 1,000 strategies out there. If you go and do an internet search on how to get a classroom to behave, you're going to find people's names on strategies all over the place. And you're going to say, oh, I did this and it worked, but now it doesn't work. Those things are out there. And I'm saying that your strategy can just be patience, persistence, and a little bit of wherewithal to know what you want. Like you said, take that inventory. This is what's happening. This is what I want. And start from there. Get a quick hook. Praise it when it happens. And then focus in on that and make it a routine.
I want to get to a tip that's a little bit of a pump-up speech for people that are in that situation, but it's more than that. The message is that you're the boss. Every ship has a captain, every plane has a pilot, every school has a principal, and every classroom has a teacher. You're the teacher, you're the leader, you're the boss. You are going to get the behaviors that you want. You will get that. This group of kids with me, I am leading you, and we are going to go to where I want to go to, mm-hmm. where we want to go to together. This is not going to be out of control because I've got the power and the skills to lead this group. Mm-hmm. And then when those behaviors are happening, you are addressing them in real time in a calm, consistent way. Nothing is ever going to happen in this space that makes me raise my voice or makes me feel negative emotions. I've got you guys, but I am steering the boat. We are going down the river, and I want teachers feeling this way to walk into that space with that confidence, because you've got this. You are the leader. Lead them, but with that confidence.
And okay, so let's just say really quick that I've got my class silent now. I've got them sitting down, perhaps, and we need to start thinking too about endurance. How long do you want this to happen? Because your expectations versus the reality of the situation could be two different things. If I have a very unruly class and I got them to be quiet and I said, I am so happy that we were able to do this, I just want to say it means something to me that it means something to you. Guess what? That might not last for 40 minutes. That might last for 2 minutes. Be honest with the situation and say, we're going to need to practice this because I can tell there's a lot of energy in the room. So we're just going to practice in increments of 5 minutes. So for every 5 minutes that we're successful in doing this, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break. And during this break, the things that I'm going to allow are not going to be incredibly extravagant. I'm not going to say, we're going to get on our computers or we're going to have a cupcake party. No, no, no. I'm going to allow some free time to share. And here's the question that I would like to think about so we can get to know each other a little bit. And then we'll practice again. But after 5 minutes, we're just going to have some talk time about this topic. You don't have to let it all out all at once. So the reward, if you want to call it a reward, is just something very personable and meaningful for kids and for you. I think that's very important, that whatever is on the other side of your behavior has to be relatable to kids. And it also has to be driven towards something that you want, because like you said, you're the leader of the class. Do you want your kids eating cupcakes because they did something that you expected of them? I don't. I want them to drive forward towards something that resembles my curriculum. And maybe that's a speaking component where we interact. Or maybe that's a quick write where we share, but it's got to have meaning to the kids and their voices matter. So let them have that. And then come back to practicing again and say, maybe tomorrow we'll work for 10 minutes. Or maybe we'll work for 10 minutes after our next break. And if we grade it, great. If not, we'll keep working at it. But I'm going to stay calm and persistent and patient.
Keep saying that. We keep saying the word calm. We keep saying the word consistent. Those, I think, are the keys. Like you said, do a Google search. You're going to see a million authors writing about this. Some of them have probably done the teaching thing and had great classroom management. And some of them probably have never stepped foot in a classroom, but those calm, consistent, caring, voices are going to get the behaviors that you want. And when I went on that thing about being the boss, I don't want that to be confused with this scorched earth kind of my way or the highway authoritarian classroom leadership perspective, because that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a leader of a democratic classroom where I'm letting everyone know that, hey, I'm the leader. You can feel safe with me because I'm going to make sure everyone is safe and cared for here, but your voice matters too. And when we talk about the way you want this class to be, it's not just the way I want it to be. I've got some simple expectations. We listen to each other. We care about each other. We don't talk over each other, whatever it is. We don't line up at the door if that matters to me. But beyond that, I want to engage with you guys, whether it's kindergarten to 12th grade. I want to engage with you guys about the type of class that you want to have. I want to know how you learn best. You know, you'll hear from kids now that say, I do this best when I'm listening to music. Okay, maybe that's true. What's that? What's that look like as a reward or an incentive that I offer you when I'm getting the things that I want?
Right. I want to go back and I want to talk a little bit more about like real practical things that I notice teachers doing and that I notice myself doing. And I think that people listening to this are going to relate to this really quick. Okay, so I walk into a classroom, elementary. The example I gave you with the pumpkin was geared directly to high school. That came right from my own high school experience. But I want to talk about maybe some little kid stuff too, or maybe it's like some middle-sized kids.
Yeah,
I'm going to do the clap, 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 clap. And I want the whole classroom or the whole cafeteria. Maybe I'm a principal listening to this. I want the whole cafeteria to go clap, 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 clap in response to me. That way everybody, it seems to be a universal thing. If I clap and then maybe I'll do another clap, like clap, clap, clap. And everybody's going to clap, clap, clap back. Here's the kicker with that though. If that isn't built into every single kid in the room as the expectation to stop what I'm doing and respond in a clap, you're going to have some instant problems that you're going to find. And then following those instant problems, you might get frustrated because let me give you a scenario. Let's do the cafeteria one first. I'm a principal. I walk into the cafeteria. I go clap, 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 clap. And I get some responses, but I don't get enough responses. So I'm going to do another cadence. I do another cadence. I get some responses back to that, but not everybody. Do I do a third one? I ask that because if I didn't get what I wanted out of the second one, that should have told me something instantaneously, that not everybody in the room knew that the expectation was to respond and then be quiet. So if I do it a third time, I'm wasting everybody's time, including my own. Because if I do it a third time, guess what? I'm going to get the same result. I might as well do it a fourth time, and I'm going to get the same result. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to do it once, and then immediately I'm going to make a statement and be like, wow, so many of you knew exactly what I wanted, and I didn't even know that you guys knew that. So for those of you who did exactly what I expected, thank you. I expected you to clap back to me and then kind of get quiet. If you didn't do that, let's try it one more time. Do my cadence. And if somebody is still not doing what I expect them to do, still praise the crowd as I kind of meander over towards that one kid, maybe give them a little proximity and say, I'm going to do it one more time because I'm looking for every single person. Maybe I put my hand on that kid. Maybe I just stand there. Maybe I give them a quick little statement and be like, I know you got it this time. We're going to do it one more time. And then everybody's going to be quiet. And now the expectation is set. But guess what? If I do it again tomorrow, I better remind them what the expectation is because we're going to practice this every single day for a week. And then we're going to practice it again every single day for another week and another week and another week if that's what we need. Now let's walk into a classroom model. It's going to be the exact same thing. A teacher can do this. They can do the clap cadence, but it's going to look exactly like the cafeteria. I'm going to reward that class for doing what I thought they wanted to do. And I'm still going to have a couple talkers in the back. I'm going to do a little proximity. I'm going to coach them through it. And then we're going to practice that. And I'm never going to forget to do all of those steps again for weeks. I mean, for weeks, I'm just going to drill this into everybody so that if I do my clap cadence, everybody always knows and they're reminded regularly about what that is. That's one behavior out of maybe 1,000 that I have to practice. So when I say patience, I really mean patience. You might take 6 weeks of school training primarily for expected behaviors and routines while you're peppering in some curriculum. That's no lie.
And when I was talking with this teacher who brought this to me, I said that you've got to focus on the behaviors and culture first. If you're trying to plow ahead with, well, I can't wait for everybody to be quiet consistently because I've got to get to my content, I would not think in that way at all. The behaviors and the culture need to be established first so that you can get to the content for everyone.
Right.
I mean, if I were teaching an elementary classroom and I didn't, but if I were in a middle school setting or a high school, I'm focusing on behaviors and culture for weeks before I'm focusing on the learning of the content, because the learning behaviors need to come first or the learning's not going to happen. We all have to learn how to be learners in this space before we can learn. Okay. And slow down. If you're feeling that uneasiness, keep it simple. Remember the things that are the targets and focus consistently on them.
Let me give you an analogy, Miles.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I always do this to people, and then I get called out for it, and I don't care. I love it. The road that I live on is 45 miles per hour posted speed limit. I don't think everybody on this road travels 45 miles per hour. I think there's some people that tend to go a little faster than 45. It's kind of a road that links two main roads. Sometimes I think people are going 60. You know how to slow them down really quick? Call the police. And the police set up on the road, and then a bunch of people get speeding tickets.
Yeah.
That slows people down really fast.
Yeah.
But guess what happens about a week after that? People start speeding up again. Why is that? Well, because people know the routine is to slow down when they see the police and to speed back up after they're gone, because we know they're not going to sit on the road every single day. But guess what we can do if we're really, really, really wanting people to slow down on this road? We could maybe make a statement to our community saying, we are launching a tactic that is going to say we want people to slow down because a lot of kids live on this road. It's very important to the community that we all slow down. And we're asking the police to regularly patrol this road. And when they do regularly patrol the road, following our announcement to the public, it becomes expected that we all go 45 on the road. And it's very quickly going to be just second nature. We all know that when we drive, there are certain roads that nobody speeds on because police often sit on those roads because it is practiced regularly. So we slow down for certain roads. There is no difference between that and classroom behavior. If we know, and I'm not saying be punitive all the time, but if the expectation is always there and we practice it and it's well known, we got it. I'm just saying getting started in that with that pumpkin in my hand or that shiny, whatever you want to call it, that's the icebreaker. That's the hook, as you say. Once we get that, we start small and we build it up. And it's going to take time to do that. Invest the time and be okay with it. Don't let anybody tell you that this has to happen right now. Because I'm telling you, after years of that, it becomes your classroom culture. And then you're well known for having pretty good routines. And people coming in expect that from you.
And one thing you just said, Mike, after you start to come out of this a little bit, that feeling that some of these behaviors are out of control, and you start to feel that confidence, the people coming into your space feel that same confidence from you. This person is leading a space that's calm and caring. And those behaviors, they take care of themselves just from that aura of confidence that everyone knows this is what happens in this space. you sometimes don't even then have to teach that much because it perpetuates.
Right. Yeah. Once these routines are in place, it's going to build your confidence up now too.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see this success and you start getting this feeling of, I can do this. That's a great feeling. But don't forget to keep practicing it so that feeling doesn't wane.
I want to put out a couple other concrete strategies because I really feel as though even this, you know, person that I was trying to help and I'm still trying to help with this, you know, people are still going to say, I need some more concrete things to do here. You know, I get what you're saying. The theory is good. This sounds good. How does this look in my space? So, you know, when you're talking about the punitive things or the punishments, Mike, do not let yourself get trapped in that detention cycle that I have seen many, many teachers get into. You know, I have this expectation, this behavior happened, detention. Because what's happening is at some point that punishment isn't going to stop those behaviors, right? But you're in this like major kind of punishment thing. You've damaged this relationship with your kids. There are really, really minor corrections that you can use to curtail these things. I'm thinking specifically middle school level, which is where I am now, high school level. Time is a huge thing that kids care about in school. You care about your time too as a teacher. This kid's doing something. I was giving you the example before we came on about a kid lining up at the door. Hey man, you know, I've asked you not to line up at the door, go sit down. Pops right back up. Hey, I'm gonna keep you a minute after because you lined up at the door. Oh, that kid wants to get out in the hallway with his friends, get to the restroom and do whatever. It's a minute. It's a minute with you, but it's the easiest reminder. We don't do that in this space, right? And it's delivered calm. It's delivered, I'm not upset. I'm letting you know that you're not following one of my, I'm going to take a minute to talk to you and retrain you on that. Now you're going to get up and leave. You know, another middle school thing I see work in an awesome way, probably work in elementary school too, cost the teacher no time. Getting ready, my class, you're going to lunch. Hey, I got you for 2 minutes at the beginning of lunch. What? I got you for a 2 minute retraining at the beginning of lunch. You're not going to lunch. You're coming to my room. You could have another class going on. It doesn't really matter. That kid comes to you for 2 minutes. You have a quick 30 second conversation about where they were going wrong on your expectations. They're 2 minutes late to lunch. They don't get to sit with their friends. Really easy, quick reminder that they're off track and need to get back on track.
And I will add to that and say, when you have that child for that little bit of time that you're borrowing from them, please don't let that be passive time. That's mm-hmm. time where you get to interact with a kid. They get to see your human side while you're expressing your expectation. We're only here because I really, really, really want to see you succeed in not lining up early. We're going to try it again tomorrow. I know you can do it. And that might sound hokey to some people, but hey, guess what? If you just use the punitive side of that without the coaching, and you're doing that more than one time in a week, it would have worked the first time. So use that time to interact as a human with another human. Explain your expectations and say, you're getting better. I know you've got this in you. Because it makes you human to them and you're building trust, even though you're putting a consequence in place. Very important.
One other thing I want to mention, especially I see in middle school, I'm sure it's the same thing for elementary school. Adults know this, teachers know this. Sitting in spaces for long periods of time is hard for any human being.
Yeah.
And you talk about like the simple thing, Mike, we're going to do this for 10 minutes, then we're going to do this. We're going to do this for 5 minutes, then we're going to do this. We're going to do this for 2 minutes, like in an extreme case, then we're going to do this. There are so many like awesome movement-based brain breaks I see on YouTube, breathing-based things. I've talked about some of those mindfulness things. Hey, well, my period is 40 minutes, but I broke it up into 8 sections for this class that's having trouble with these behaviors. Look, guys, 5 minutes, then we're doing this 3 minute music dance brain break. Mm-hmm. When everyone gives me the 5 minutes. Okay, I'm on that. And that, like that, do this, we do this. Do this, we move and do this. Keep that variety and that opportunity for movement. You're dealing with kids. They want to move. They want to be energetic. I think sometimes we think the perfect classroom is kids sitting silently. It's not.
No, and you know what? I'm going to plug a product right now, and I typically don't do this, but I'm going to say if you're putting any type of time limit on kids, I use a thing called a time timer. It's a brand called Time Timer. It's a visual timer. You twist this little dial, and it might be it goes up to like 60 minutes. They have different sizes of ones, but it is a visual timer where you turn it for you say go 5 minutes, and it puts a red wedge of time so that kids can see what 5 minutes looks like. I always tell adults, if you say 1 minute, most kids under the age of 21 don't know what 1 minute means. They don't know what 5 minutes means. So show it to them. And I say show it to them better than like a 5:00 counting down. Show them with a time timer. Here's the other thing. I don't like time timers used for consequence. I use them for myself so that anytime I say 5 minutes, I'm putting myself on that same clock. So I use these things for me. I use them for kids so that if I say 5 minutes or if I say we're practicing for 10 minutes, it's very clear what I'm talking about. This long with that wedge counting down, and I see it too, because now I have that same amount of time to plan our next move.
I want to get to at least one more thing, Mike. I don't want to go too long on this and give people some real concrete things, but I'm going to plug something that I have personally used, Class Dojo, in relation to like a PBIS positive behavior kind of reward approach. But you know, I would use that system. And if you've not on the Class Dojo, and some people just use it for communication, but they've got an awesome kind of like avatar giving points, being able to use those points. Take away and add to for teachers and then communicate with home. This Class Dojo is awesome in my mind. But as a teacher, when I teach this behavior, you guys are coming in, you're silent, you're listening to me, we're doing this warm-up activity, I'm dinging you with those points. And if, you know, I know a lot of schools have one-to-one devices now, they can have that open and that thing can ding. And you're talking about Pavlov and behaviorism and stuff. Oh, ding, ding, ding. Oh, if you guys are working silently for 5 minutes, you're getting another point. I mean, that often that I'm earning those points. And then as a student, I get to spend them on things. And we've talked about snacks and stuff. It doesn't have to be all that food stuff. I want to, you know, I want to spend 10 points to get a 5 minute break. I want to spend 15 points to be able to work on this project with a partner. Whatever those little things are, I think are like super powerful that you can lean into with Class Dojo. So I would really recommend kind of exploring that or a different system if you're really struggling with those little things. And the last thing I was thinking about when you were saying that, Mike, you know, I had a dog. I know you, dog owner. When I trained my dog when it was a puppy, Beowulf, I had to teach it to sit, right? And they teach you how to teach the dog to sit. The first time I said sit to Beowulf, he did not sit, right? It took weeks for me to get Beowulf to sit with the treats and the rewards and all that. But he learned it. And then for the rest of his life, Beowulf sat without me ever having to give him a treat.
Yeah.
And I could communicate and teach a dog to sit that doesn't speak English. You can teach your kids to literally do anything in the same way. You've talked to me about that so much.
Yeah, I expected behavior with any type of reward, and I'm not going to go into all of the things that we've mentioned on other podcasts for rewards, but rewards don't have to be tangible. They can just a reward is a smile. I mean, a reward comes in so many different ways. If I've developed a trusting relationship with students, a reward can literally be an attaboy, attagirl. A dojo point goes so much further than that if you really want to incorporate those types of things. But when you become this, when you have this symbiotic relationship where you're serving students, you're doing a service for students and they're doing a service for you, you both then begin to thrive on that positive energy. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about. Even with Beowulf, you're praising that dog and it's praising you with its behaviors. It becomes very symbiotic, and that's what the essence of teaching is. When you reach this maximum high level of enjoyment within your job of teaching, it's because your service is reflected in their service, and you have this fruitful, profession that is very hard to explain to other people that are outside of it.
I want to just kind of end what I want to say about this with what you said right there. You, as a teacher, you're a master teacher. You reward the behaviors that you want, and you get there calmly in a caring way. And every single person in the profession has that ability. Go in there as that dojo instructor, as the master, and consistently, I am going to get there with you. You got it. Simple, one step at a time, break it down to teaching the behaviors that you want and rewarding them in the right ways. And they will reward you.
Right. I mean, this has been a very exciting and fun topic to talk about. I'm glad that we're back up and running and off to the races in this way, because it's like, I can't wait to talk about our next topic. It's awesome. So
yeah. So I hope we got there for some people. If you have questions, you can reach out to us in any way. We, like we have said, we're here to help. We just care about this stuff, and we want to help anybody who's out there.
Yeah. All right. See you next time.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to School Is Out with Mike and Miles. Appreciate you being here. See you next time.